Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 281, hosted by myself, Gary, and my cousin, my co-host, Mike, down in sunny Southwest Florida. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing okay, Mr. Klinsman. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good.
The Triple H is from hell today, Bill.
Oh, no. Hazy, hot, and humid.
Hazy, hot, and humid. Some thunder boomers ripping through, cooling it down. It's supposed to be a stormy day tomorrow. Then it's going to bump right back up. So Friday's going to be 89, Saturday 97, and Sunday 93.
Oh, that's good, huh?
It's a nice little stretch, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to play golf after work on Saturday, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to drag my old man out when it's 97 degrees, 65% humidity.
Yeah.
One or
yeah,
both they always of us tell, might die. Yeah.
Yeah, they always say that the elderly should be, you take it easy.
The elderly. I'll tell him that you said that.
He doesn't listen anymore?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, they don't. The most of the my family has fallen off. I guess the good thing is that your wife never listened.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like she could stop.
Right.
But I think both my sisters don't listen anymore. My wife listens. And my parents, they're way behind. Because they were telling me, they were listening one day. And they're like, oh, he was talking about something referring to you. And I was like, that's from like February. So wow. They're catching up. I don't even think they're at the name change yet. I think they're still on Por Favor podcast episodes. That's how far behind they are.
Well, they've just got a lot to look forward to.
That's true. They could binge it. Like, you know, on like Netflix when a new show comes out, you can watch every episode in one night. They could just listen to like 24 straight hours.
I'm gonna pair my phone to their, when they drive me around for the wedding or whatever. I'm gonna pair my phone to their.
You think their car, their automobile has that capability?
Oh, it's post like 2018.
I think
isn't it
my mom's car still has a cassette deck in it.
An 8-track?
Not quite that bad, but no, it's a newer car. But I don't think it has Bluetooth. To be honest with you.
Oh, that's too bad.
Are they going to be your chauffeur? They're going to be the Uber?
Well, somebody is.
Oh, all right, because they got two car seats in the back. I'm going to have to make some arrangements for that, I guess.
This should be taken care of prior to me getting on that Southwest flight.
Oh, well, I didn't know you even had a flight booked. As far as I know, we still don't know if you're coming up to
Oh, yeah.
I'm already getting the runaround for golf on Friday. I said, oh, yeah, I probably either work for a few hours or not work at all so I could play golf. And my mom's like, well, we have to go do this, and I have to go get my nails done. I'm like, okay, here we go. I guess golf's not happening.
I was going to go anyways to see my godmother Friday at some point. So
yeah.
We can maybe do it Sunday.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do something on Sunday. Saturday. What time's the wedding? I don't even know. Is that a bad sign that I don't know what time the wedding is?
Well, especially because you're the reverend.
The officiant, yeah. I went to get my hair cut the other day, like the last one before the wedding, because I get it cut real close, so it'd be good if it grows out for about a week. It'll be like the perfect length. And I was telling the girl that cuts my hair, I said, "Don't do a good job." I go to the same girl every time. I said, "Do a good job because this is the last one before I have to officiate my sister's wedding." And she started laughing, and she's like, "Are you gonna wear one of those stupid things around your neck?" I was like, "No, I didn't get one of those." She's like, "You totally should. You gotta look the part." So maybe I'll have to look on Amazon and see if I can find like something on there.
Yeah, you gotta wear some of the cloths, right?
That's true.
And depending on whatever season we're in, too, you have to wear the corresponding cloth.
That's true. I was actually wondering And this is something that we're, because Catherine doesn't listen to the podcast, so we could get away with something like this. Could I sneak in, like, a plug for the podcast into the vows? I feel like I could. Like, maybe not the WDW part, but if I said, you know, in sickness and in health, beyond the gates, like, instead of, like, death, you say beyond the gates. Like,
you,
like heaven's
gonna,
gates. You know what I mean?
You gonna try it?
Like, slip that in there? Like, God, what would you do if I just dropped beyond the gates in the middle of the ceremony?
That would be beautiful.
With the straight face. You'd have to get that live. You'd have to... Are you going to try to go live?
No, just she doesn't want me to.
All right, well, just the GoPro on the head will be fine then.
I can bring a cam. I'd be happy. I videotaped my sister-in-law's and I downloaded it and emailed it to her. She was very happy. I'd be happy to do your sister's.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm going to need to see this file. At some point, I want
to... So I need to bring the video camera?
Yeah, I think so. Plus, your goddaughter is going to be walking down the aisle.
I mean, I'd be both happy to videotape it. I won't go live. She said that specifically not to go live.
That's fair. I guess we won't go live. If I drop a plug in there in the middle of the ceremony, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Oh, and then I could edit it and put it into one of our YouTube videos.
That's true.
Just where, like, you're saying, that would be beautiful.
Beyond the gate. Imagine if I just stopped and said, subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review.
Yeah, but she'd start crying or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I think I could slip in beyond the gates and get away with it. But if I tried to, like, tell people to subscribe to the podcast, I might get kicked in the shins. Yeah, I don't want to mess. You know, I joke about it, but...
I mean, you told me... You would give me $20 if I wore my GoPro on my head.
That offer you would still stand. Yeah, that's true. That's a bad investment on my part, isn't it?
When she's coming down the aisle and we're all standing and you see me and I'm the tallest guy in the in the stands and you just see that stupid GoPro on my forehead. And you know in 14 seconds you got to go.
It'd be even better if, like, as you stand up, you just start strapping it on your head. Like, you don't have it on, so I look over at you and you don't have it. And then as soon as, like, she comes down the aisle and everyone stands up, you start, like, rigging the apparatus.
Taking it out of my bag and stuff.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just putting it on your head. Stand still. This thing's got to focus.
That's all. You'd be done, wouldn't you?
I would not be able to get any words out. You could totally sabotage this wedding if you really wanted to.
And I could do it, like, non-purposely.
Yeah, it might happen anyway.
It could very well happen without me doing a damn thing.
Depending on where you're sitting, I'm going to have to, like, really, like, avert my gaze. Make sure I'm not looking at you. I know Susie will keep you in check. Like, she'll, like, hit you in the head if you start doing something really goofy.
Right.
Like, if you start making, like, beaker faces at me or something.
Yeah.
Like, she'll knock some sense into you.
I'd be nervous. I'd almost have to take, like, some type of medication.
You think you're going to need, like, an Ambien or something?
Like, no, I'm saying if I were you.
Oh, like, maybe I'll just drink heavily beforehand.
Yeah, but does stuff make you laugh more when you're drinking?
It depends. That's true.
Now if you're That's up there slurring your speech, then you're in trouble again.
Dearly beloved, we...
The drunk brother up there.
Like Father Guido Sarducci.
Is there going to be music?
I have no idea. Bill, I know nothing. This is... So the rehearsal...
Yeah, I found that out like 2 days ago.
...is at 4:30 at Valley, and then the dinner is afterwards. So that's... Yeah. I'm going to learn as much as anyone else at this rehearsal. Like, she's going to expect me to, like, run this thing. It's like, this is going to be the... I don't know. All I know is they have their marriage license. I'm going to have to sign it, and I think that's it. That's where my responsibilities...
Now, when you sign it, is it the most reverend Gary Frank Arruda, how do you have to sign it?
That's a good point. I guess I should, like, I have to put, like, Universal Life Church, Reverend Gary Arruda, Universal Life Church.
Don't they say they're the most reverend, though?
The most reverend? I don't know if I'm the most reverend. I think you have to earn that title. I think I'm just, like, averagely reverend. The number one most reverend in this room right now. Yeah, this could turn into a you-know-what show up there.
Yes.
The girls going down the aisle, they both freak out. Everything could go wrong.
Yep.
And I'm the one who would have to, like, bring everything together.
You're the glue. You got to bring everything together.
And I'm not sure if I'm capable.
Are you
of doing
listening
that.
To this? Are you listening to this in the background?
Listening to what?
Can you hear the lightning and the rain?
No, I was gonna say we just had some a storm roll through. I don't hear anything though in the background.
We're having like one of those Caribbean showers right now.
Okay.
It's just like.
Like sideways rain.
Yep.
Oh, crazy. Does Rhodey freak out?
Not at all. Thank God. Good. Not.
I know some dogs can't deal with that stuff.
Doesn't even flinch.
Well, that's a good thing. So that'll be good. We might be able to record a show together. If we play golf, though, we could possibly record like a show in between our shots in the cart. Just keep talking and like pause it. Like do it on the phone. Record the audio.
Yeah, I actually have a video, an audio recorder.
Remember when we recorded in the car when you were in Rhode Island? Like we were driving
yes.
down to Westerly? That one came out pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
We'll have to do something similarly. That was early on in the life of the van. That was like 3 years ago.
How many miles you got on that bad boy now?
I'm almost up to 90,000 on it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's like 88. I think I'm going to tick over 88 tomorrow. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Yep.
This week, I have out of Westerly, Rhode Island, Graysail Brewing has the Flying Horse Blonde Ale, and it is specially brewed to commemorate Westerly's 350th anniversary, which is 2019, 1669 to 2019, 350 years of Westerly, Rhode Island. So it's got a picture of the one of the horses from the carousel down in Watch Hill, a very old, famous carousel. In Watch Hill, and it's the Flying Horse Blonde Ale. It's good. It's a nice summer beer. Not too strong. Nothing crazy. Just a regular beer flavored beer. It's good stuff. In honor of the 350 years. That's a lot of how. I mean, I'm sure Parrish, Florida, is not quite up to 350 yet, right?
Probably. I don't think so.
Like that sounds like a newer. Like it was probably like part of another town, and it kind of broke off into its own at some point. Because Florida was kind of like a Wild West. For a long time.
Yeah, like, but St. Augustine's America's first city.
Well, I know, but like there weren't a lot of cities. Like a lot of it was just swampland and farmland. I think it was just there. And then as people started building it up, I feel like those cities incorporated, like became what they are. I guess we'll look it up at the break and we can get back to you on that when it was incorporated or whatever they say. So anything else you want to add here or should we take that aforementioned break?
Let's take a break. All right.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 281 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. Parrish, Florida was established in 1879 when a post office was established that changed the name to Parrish. So how do you like that?
Good info.
So, I heard that one. That's a big... How close is that? Like, how far...
Not that close.
No, but it's just nice, loud
boomers. Let me look at my Lightning app. Let's see what's going on here.
You have a Lightning app?
I do. No, I said Lightning in 0 miles, so...
No, that's pretty close then. Well, this week we're going to talk some Disney news. There's a lot of information trickling out. We're kind of focus in on a few stories that just came out, and where do you want to start, sir?
You pick. You're hosting this bad boy.
All right. We'll start with probably the...
That's yeah, Jen.
The big... Did you shake the microphone again?
Yeah, I like doing that.
I don't like when you do that.
Does that bother you?
Well, it doesn't bother me. It just makes editing a lot harder. It spikes the audio, so then I can't get a good, like, steady line. So then your audio is messed up for the whole episode. Anyway, the biggest news, in my opinion, not necessarily the one that I'm most excited about, but I am excited about it, is coming out of... they just announced it this week, I believe, or the end of last week, that the Disney Skyliner will be opening on September 29th of this year, 2019. And that is very interesting for many reasons. The first reason it's interesting to me is that I will be there, as will you, for the golf trip, the gentleman's trip.
Yeah, the gentleman's trip.
So we'll be able to test it out. We'll get in line with all the other bloggers and vloggers and Disney media people and be one of the first in line to ride this stupid thing.
Why are you calling it stupid?
No, I'm not. I shouldn't say that because I am really looking. I think it's really cool, and I'm very much looking forward to it. There's a chance that I may freak out because I'm afraid of heights, and it's a long, seems like a long kind of trip, and I may not enjoy it. It may be a one and done for me, but I'm
very... You won't get on it and like start having like a nervous breakdown.
You never know.
Oh, really?
I don't know that.
Like you could literally just start shaking and...
I've never been in one, so I can't say. That's never happened to me before, so...
Wow.
Is that a big one?
I saw the lights. I'm facing... My back is facing
the window.
The
yeah.
window, and I saw the lights.
Is that one where like you start feeling like a shake in the house from the thunder being that?
That kind of did shake the house.
I'm assuming it's still going to be 0 miles based on the last one also being zero miles.
Let's see with it. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, they're still saying lightning in 1 mile. This might not be that accurate.
So we're looking at the September 29th opening date. The second reason I find it interesting is because almost everyone just assumed it would be open in time for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening at Hollywood Studios. Because you would think, you know, with that big opening coming up and how many people they're anticipating and all that, you know, all that nonsense, that they'd want this new form of transportation open at least somewhat ahead of it. I thought they would do it maybe like 3 weeks ahead.
Well, especially because they're taking the Saran wrap off it right now, so I thought this was ready to go sooner rather than later.
I wonder if something came up, but if something came up, they wouldn't have come out with a date either at this point, you know?
Wonder if we could get a wrap, how much a wrap would cost.
For what?
For one of those.
Oh, like our logo on there?
Yes.
That would be interesting. Just wait until these things all have ads flying on them. Like, right now, they have all these cool little characters. Pretty soon, it's going to be Avengers 19 coming out April 14th.
They're dumb buses. They're stupid monorails.
I guess they changed all the buses recently, right? That's what I've heard. Or they're starting to change them over. So these things, let's see what it says here. So this is from Disney. Opening September 29th, Disney Skyliner aerial gondolas are an incredible new way to get around Walt Disney World Resort. Glide across the sky and add an extra dash of pixie dust to your day. This grand state-of-the-art gondola system will conveniently connect Disney Hollywood Studios and the International Gateway at Epcot to the following Disney resorts: Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, Pop Century, and Riviera Resort, projected to open in December of 2019. Guests will enjoy a fun way to travel to Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. Plus, the Skyliner station at International Gateway at Epcot is conveniently located just a short stroll away from Disney's Boardwalk, Yacht Club, Beach Club, and the Boardwalk Inn. And not that
Let's
far
not
from
forget the Swan and Dolphin.
I was going to say, not too far from the Swan and Dolphin. That did not make the press release, but we will add that in on our own. I mean, I feel like this is a game changer if it works half as well as they anticipate it. Like, the amount of people that can apparently get moved in these things is incredible. There's a lot of stops, but they said that, like, the trip from Pop Century to Hollywood Studios is like 7 minutes. That's not that long, considering the bus rides, how long they take. And I think it's like 15 minutes to get to Epcot, but there's a few stops along the way and everything. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how it works and if there's any kinks in the system that they need to work out. But I think it's going to be a good thing. They do, the one thing that a lot of people are harping on, and this is something that I have some questions about, is the lack of cooling in these pods. Like they said, they're air cooled, so there's just vents in the top. I mean, are you concerned about that, or do you think they're going to be moving fast enough where it's going to stay cool?
I think they'll be fine.
You think so? Even in like, but if you get stuck, you're screwed. Like if that thing stops and it's a day like today, where it's above, I don't know how hot it was down there, but if it's a day where it's above 90 with a ton of humidity, You're
it only
not
got up to 134.
Oh, just 134 today.
Yeah, it was only 134 today.
Not bad. So kind of a cool day for Florida. But, I mean, what you wouldn't want to get stuck on one of these, it sounds like, with no, like, air conditioning. But when it's moving, I don't foresee any problems with the heat, but I guess we'll find out, right? It's usually still pretty hot at the end of September, so we'll get a good idea right away how hot those things are going to be.
Yes, we will.
These there's a lot of these things. Is it going to be goofy looking, like when you're in Epcot and you're looking out over France and you just see these stupid things like bobbing through the air? Like, is that going to, does that bother you? I know some people are not happy about the sight lines and things like that. I don't think it doesn't really bother me, but maybe I'm not a Disney purist as much as I would like to think.
I don't think it's going to be too bad.
Not too intrusive?
No.
It's not going to take away from your enjoyment of Epcot?
No, this is one thing that I'm not going to bitch about.
You're excited about it.
Yeah, I am, because I used to go on it when I was a kid when they had it at the Magic Kingdom.
A little different. It's going to be a lot faster. It's more of a transportation system than a attraction, obviously.
Right.
I mean, think of the amount of people that stay at Pop Century and Art of Animation that now have direct access to two parks that don't have to be on buses.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's going to free up a ton of these buses to run to the other parks from those resorts and to other resorts that don't have a direct line. So maybe it'll just overall reduce the bus weights around all of property, because it's just going to free up buses, going to free up traffic, not going to be as many buses clogging up the roads. I think it could be, you know, overall a huge win if everything goes to plan. I think it's cool that they invested in this and that it's all coming to fruition. And if it works, I wouldn't be surprised to hear very soon that they're going to expand it to other parks and just keep this whole thing going where you can basically get anywhere on property.
That's where I was going to head. I think this is just phase one.
Oh, I would, unless it is a disaster, and then they'll just leave it as is. But if it goes well after a year or so, don't be surprised if all of a sudden there's a gondola system connecting Disney Springs to, you know, some of these resorts and things like that. And, you know, I don't know how long of a run. I don't really know the technology behind it and how they work, like how close these stanchions need to be to one another and how far, like, they want to send people in these things. But if they could get these things everywhere and you could literally get from any resort to any park on these Skyliners, that would be incredible. And I mean, I'm sure that eventually could happen.
Because now all you're just doing is making hubs. So you might not have, like, a direct from Pop Century to the Magic Kingdom.
No, but if the travel time is quick and you could get from Pop Century to Epcot and then Epcot to, you know, the Magic Ticketed King. Transportation Center or something,
right,
then you're in good shape. We'll see how it goes. But any other thoughts on these Skyliners?
No, I just think this is definitely phase one, because I think they want to stop phasing some of their buses out.
How bad would one of these things stink if you ripped, like, a confectionery fart in there? Like, there's not a lot of room for that thing to go.
Well, we'll definitely be doing that in September.
You're gonna test that out as well.
Oh, absolutely. If it's there, I will.
Okay. If you have one built up.
Yep.
Depends on where we eat the night before. How much steak and beer is had.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good possibility. All right, let's get out of this Skyliner. I want to save the one about the discounts for the end.
Okay.
So this next story.
Steve Jobs.
It is very exciting, and I think you're probably very excited about it as well. This is from laughingplace.com.
You know I am doing more Jobs?
Why is that?
I texted the Cha last night.
Oh, how's he doing?
Oh, Cha doing good.
You gonna play golf?
No, I asked him because I thought I saw him at the golf course on Saturday, but he said he did play Saturday, but he wasn't at university.
Oh.
I saw a little Korean guy with the hat that I wear. I wear my Walt Disney World Mickey Mouse, the big brim hat.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen says I look like a forest ranger when I'm heading out to play golf on Saturday.
Nothing wrong with that. You got to protect yourself from the sun's harmful rays.
Absolutely.
So, child.
I think I'm going to be looking into one of those hats when we're down there.
You don't have one?
Not one like that. I got to get a good hat. The Florida hat, yeah. You got that one at the golf course, right?
Yeah.
That Arnold Palmer, well, it's like the athletic it's fabric. It's not cloth. It's like almost like a rain gear fabric.
Yeah, your head breathes really well because they have a bunch of holes in there to get the
I got to look into one of those before we get
to get one at any Golf Galaxy.
Yeah, I'll probably get one ahead of time because I don't need to buy a Disney one necessarily.
Although it is nice to have Mickey Mouse on the front.
That's true. You can't go wrong with that. Oh, speaking of that, let's. This is Disney related, so I'm going to bring it up. Remember, I sent you that link to those Florida golf balls that Volvic like set. It had like the They have a Mickey Mouse one that looks really good too.
I used to get Mickey balls when I was younger.
But it's got the colors, and it comes with like a ball marker and this like little magnetic Mickey Mouse that you can actually put on the ball marker, and he stands up on the green.
God, I mean, we're
such dorks, might get in the way on the putts, but
do you think we're dorks?
Yes, big time. It'd be a good display piece, though. Mm-hmm. All right, so laughingplace.com has a story here from last week. It says, soon it seems guests wishing to travel on foot between Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa and the Magic Kingdom will be able to, even if they don't possess the power to walk on water. Ew. Today, Disney confirmed plans to build a walkway connecting the deluxe hotel and the theme park. That's very exciting news. So they go through some bullet points here. It says, Disney filed a permit for a project simply titled Grand Floridian to Magic Kingdom Walkway. They confirmed that the permit was approved, and that's pretty much what it sounds like. In an official statement, they said the walking path from Disney's Grand Floridian will give our resort hotel guests another convenient way to reach the Magic Kingdom Park. And currently some of the options are monorail, water taxis, or ground transportation. At this time, it's unclear what impact, if any, the new walkway will have on the electric water pageant, and no other details are currently available. But I feel like this is very good and very exciting news. What do you think?
Yes.
You love walking.
I do.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, you're staying at the Signature Hotel, and wouldn't it be, like, I love the walk from the Contemporary to the Magic Kingdom. I think it's a great, unique option, and to have that another walk available is
great. And this one is so much better.
Well, it's longer though. It's about a mile, I think they said it would be.
Is it that far?
I think they said it's just under a mile.
Okay, so yeah, it's because it's weird. Do you know where it is, right?
It's basically right under the monorail track, right? Where they would have it.
I actually walked it. It's the weirdest thing, Bill. So, over where the boat launches are to go to the Grand Floridian Polynesian,
right near Narcoossee, right?
Yeah, no. If you're leaving the Magic
Kingdom. Oh, the Magic Kingdom. Okay,
so yeah. If you're leaving the Magic Kingdom and you're getting on one of those boat launches, okay, they have security set up there. So when you're coming from the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian, you're hitting security when you get off that boat at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So there's a little walkway that's already built. And I'm like, one day I was like, where does this go, right? And I'm walking. They have, like, lights on this walkway. I'm like, wow, this is cool. I'm like, I wonder if it goes to the Grand Floridian. And it's got benches, and I'm walking. All of a sudden, it just ends.
Huh.
I'm like, well, this is weird. Like, why would you build a walkway that just ends? Like, there's nobody who takes this walk.
Right.
Because, A, nobody knows about it. B, it goes nowhere.
Yeah, right. Not very practical.
But I'm like, why? They must have been planning this years ago.
Yeah, that's true. They may have started it at some point. Yeah.
They already have the first phase done because it makes no sense that they would have a walkway that's 400, 500, 600 yards with lights and benches that goes absolutely nowhere that nobody was on except for me.
Right. Now, another point to now besides just where the path is, this technically, if you're willing to walk, this opens up a walk from the Ticket and Transportation Center straight to Magic Kingdom. That's a long walk because you got to walk to the Poly, from the Poly to the Grand Floridian, then from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, you're almost better off just going the Contemporary way, although you do have to walk on roads.
Right, but I'm saying it's there. Like, there's actually the potential where you could walk there.
Yeah,
if you
sure
had
is.
To. I'm not. I mean, that's a long walk. That's probably what from the TTC to the Poly. What's that? Like 5 minute walk?
Yeah, just a few. Yeah,
but then the Poly to the Grand is a good 5-8 minute walk, and then you're on the opposite end, so then you got to walk through the Grand Floridian, and then maybe if it's a mile, I mean, you're looking at a half-hour walk from the Ticket and Transportation Center to the Magic Kingdom, if that path is available.
And let's face it, people go berserk when they miss the one monorail, and they have to wait 7 minutes for the next.
But you're making progress.
So you think they're
going to
walk a half hour?
But you're making progress. Like, I don't know. I'd rather walk, even if it takes longer.
Because
then you're not waiting in line. You're just
no.
Moving.
I agree. I'm a walker. I walk everywhere. I love to walk.
The only thing is, if you're going like balls out at the parks, you don't need to add another mile and a half walk to your day to wear people out. You know, that's a long trek. Don't get me wrong. Now, if you're at Magic Kingdom and you want to go grab a quick lunch or a drink at the Grand Floridian, and the boat launch line is long and the monorail's not running for some reason, that walk is looking very attractive at that point. I don't think it's the number one option, but I think it's a great option.
I think it's a great option because number one, when you're taking the monorail from the Grand Floridian, it's the shortest hike from the monorail, but you're also the last one to be picked up. So 9 times out of 10, the monorails are packed because they've already picked up the Contemporary, the TTC, and the Polynesian.
Yeah, that's true.
And now they're stopping to pick you up, so they're always packed.
Especially in the morning, like at the busy times, obviously.
And now when you're leaving at night, and that place is jammed, and now you got to go Contemporary, TTC, you got to make a whole ring, you're better off walking.
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
And when those boat launches, I take the boat launch just because I really enjoy it. But when you miss that boat, you're 15 minutes to the next, because that thing stops and docks at the Grand Floridian, right. And then goes over to the Polynesian, stops and docks there, and then you got that long trek across the Seven Seas Lagoon back to the Magic Kingdom. Right.
Yeah, it's not a quick little jaunt. They don't have a lot of boats either. They might have two going back and forth on that trip during the day. I think it'll be used, like you said, people that at the end of the day and the beginning of the day that don't want to wait and they just want to keep progressing towards their goal, I think it's a good option. And I'm all for the more availability to get from point A to point B is a good thing to me. I mean, it kind of falls in line with the gondolas. It's just a new way to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. Makes it easier to get around. And, you know, they obviously want people going to the different resorts. They want people going park hopping and doing all that. I mean, the easier they make it, the more money people are going to spend in the hotel restaurants, the more, you know, park hoppers they'll sell, as opposed to like one park per day tickets, which is an upsell for them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it all makes sense when you think of it that way. And, you know, people like, I can't think of any negatives to this. It's not going to disrupt anything. Even the construction of it's going to be so out of the way. It's going to be non-existent. It'll just open one day and that's it.
I don't know what they're going to do about going over. Are they going to do a bridge? Because, you know, you've taken the boat from the...
Yeah.
Over to the Grand Floridian. If you're going over the Grand Floridian, you look over to the right, there's that big open area of water and that's where the water pageant
gets stored. Yeah. They're going to have to they'll do a walking bridge over it or something, like a covered bridge or a suspension kind of thing.
Or even something that opens up, because you'd only have to close it or have somebody working there when they're opening it and closing it. Kind of like they do at Epcot when they're bringing the floats from Illuminations in.
Yeah, so they could keep it lower and just like stop traffic and open it up.
And just open it up and then, yeah.
And then close it back, yeah. That's possible.
I'm not an engineer, but I think that sounds practical.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they'll figure it out. They have some good people on it, I'm sure.
I don't think their engineers will listen to the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast.
You'd be surprised.
Figure out how they're gonna be work this.
Huh, Mike and Gary came up with an interesting idea that we never thought of. Be you.
Yeah, they're the guy's first got one.
Masters of Engineering from Penn State.
He's wearing his hard hat as he's listening. Anything else you want to add on this story? I mean, you love this. I know you have to love this.
It's fantastic. It's long overdue. It's long overdue.
It seems like a no-brainer. Maybe it's not as easy as we're making it out to be, and it's just something they didn't want to undertake, but now they have a little room in the budget or whatever, and it's worth it for them to do it at this point. But we'll see how much of a process it is, because it's just starting. I mean, how long do you think this will take? I mean, like you said, half the walkway is already there, so they basically just have to build this bridge, right?
Yep.
And then a little path from where the bridge ends to the Grand Floridian.
Which is a pretty significant walk, and it would probably just follow the monorail.
Sure. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but I don't foresee it taking that long, do you?
Like, it'll probably be open by the 50th in a year and a half or so, I would think.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
I don't know if they've broken ground on it or anything, but I can't imagine it's going to be an 18-month build from when they break ground.
I mean, look at how quickly they put those fences around the Seven Seas Lagoon and the resort areas.
That's true. When something needs to be done quick,
they did that. They get it quick. They did that quickly, and it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The way they did that, I was really worried about
it. You don't even notice it now.
Aesthetically, like how bad it was going to be, but they did a hell of a job with that.
You don't even notice it.
Nope.
All right. So the last story we want to get to this week is something that you sent me, and it's a little interesting, and I know you want to bring that up, so I won't get into it too much, but they just announced a lot of discounts for the fall and into almost the winter season coming up. So I know there's like free dining. There's some pretty deep discounts on the resorts. Right now, they just these are just the discounts that you sent me. So up to 20% on rooms at select Disney resort hotels this fall and holiday season. So 10% off some of the values, up to 15% off at the moderates, and up to 20% off at the deluxes. Let's see what other offers. I know they just talked about some free dining. I think it's at the same time frames. Yeah, so there's a free dining offer from most arrivals most nights from September 1st through the 18th, November 17th through the 27th, and December 8th through the 23rd. Book now through September 29th. So there's that, and then there's the 20% off, which is the same a few extra days, September 1st through the 28th for the 20% off, November 15th through December 24th, and then most Sunday through Thursday nights from September 29th through November 14th. So a lot of opportunities out there, and it's kind of strange, and you brought it up, so I want you to get into it.
Well, they also have one, another Florida, they're extended to Florida discount.
Okay.
Because, you know, we try to go up a couple times, once or twice in the summer when we can get that 25 to 30% off, but now they're extending it in the fall. And, yeah, like I told you, it's kind of strange because we thought these places were going to be 100% capacity because of this Star Wars geek thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, September 1st is, what, 3 days after the thing opens? Yeah. And they already have discounts out? Like, how is that? Is this thing underselling? Are they worried about this being a flop? Not necessarily a flop, but, like, being lower than they were anticipating? Right. Is it more low? Like, do you think people are staying away because they're afraid the crowds are going to be so big? It's having like a reverse effect, almost like a, you know, reverse psychology type of situation.
No,
going on?
Because I think cheerleaders are going to be cheerleaders.
Yeah, but the biggest like cheerleaders are the locals, like the local blogger cheerleader community. They're not staying at the hotels. They're going to drive up and drive home. Are there a lot of people booking trips just for the opening, or are people saying, let's let it die down a little bit? Let's let the crowds die down, and we'll go at the beginning of the year, or we'll go next March and check it out. They're not going to discount rooms, and they're not going to do free dining if they're at 95% capacity at this point.
So there's obviously
inventory out there. They don't do these discounts out of the kindness of their heart. It's not like, you know what? These people deserve a free dining. If they were banging these things out at full rack rake, you wouldn't see a discount, you know, anywhere in the future. So
the reason why they do it is to fill the plate, of course.
So there's inventory, which I don't think they were anticipating having as much inventory available as they will. That being said, the Star Wars out in Disneyland obviously already opened, so people know what to expect because they're basically carbon copies of one another, which I think is foolish that they did that, to have the two exact same lands on the opposite ends of the coast, because now you're basically cannibalizing. You got to pick one or the other. You're not going to go to both. Like, some people would have gone to both if they were different enough, if they had different attractions. You know, people would have done both, and they would have been unique to each coast, and you could have had some elements the same, but some things differently. But now they're exactly the same. Disneyland got all, you know, all the publicity, people know what to expect. And you know what? The reviews for the ride that's open aren't that great. Apparently the big ride is the one that's not open yet. So there's only one ride out of the two that's open, and people don't seem to really like it. And the ride that's opening, that's supposed to be the big, like, major attraction, they announced that's going to open December 5th. So maybe people are going to wait until that second ride opens and some of the kinks are worked out before they book their big Star Wars trip. I don't know. Obviously, something's going on because I don't think they were anticipating having to discount like 2 days after Galaxy's Edge opened to fill rooms. Is this? Do you think it's a sign of something bigger? Because you said summer attendance has been way down. There's been a lot of discounts. The parks have been slower from what I've heard.
Yep.
Like, do you think people are kind of... have they reached a tipping point with the prices, or it's starting to come back and hurt them? Is the economy starting to turn a little bit?
No, that's definitely not happening.
Well, I don't think so either, but I mean,
that's not going on right now.
There's some indicators that it may be turning, but I don't think it has started to turn. But I feel like the attendance is down, at least just in a small sample size, the last the last, 3 to 6 months, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I thought it was fitting because Pete, a couple weeks ago, was talking about this. And he was saying, I'd be shocked if they weren't given discounts in the fall. And I said, what does he know that I don't know? Well, he owns a big travel agency.
Of course, yeah, he knows.
So I'm sure, you know, they're running numbers like any sales organization. They might be, why the hell are the numbers down? Or why are they flat? Or why are they not going up the way we thought it was going to be? And I'm sure they talk with other travel agents, say, is it anomaly or are you guys seeing the same thing?
Yeah, it's very strange, obviously. I don't think they were anticipating that happening. I don't know if it's because of Star Wars Land or just there's not enough people. Maybe they overestimated how many people would go just for that. Because there's people like you and I that are going to avoid the place because of,
now,
of
Star Wars. I have Wars another there. Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd be curious to see what the 192 resorts are doing. Because if you're a big Star Wars geek, maybe you don't have a ton of money. Or maybe this is your once every 5 year, and you're looking at ticket prices, and you say, you know what? I can stay on 192 for $89 a night. We're just going to be at the parks all day anyways. Why do I want to pay $350 at Boardwalk?
That's a good point. $350 at Boardwalk is low. But that is a good point, because if they're not Disney fans, if they're just Star Wars fans, they don't want to stay at Caribbean Beach. They could care less.
I'm wondering if the first wave of these people are just going to destroy 192.
They're just staying at a Holiday Inn, a Marriott, yeah. Whatever. They're just going to stay right near the airport, rent a car, and drive in. That could be possible. Although prices, when we're looking for the gentleman's trip, seem pretty low or standard. They're not like inventory seems good and the prices seem normal.
I think there's so much inventory outside the parks
that's
right
true.
Now, though.
It's,
I mean,
yeah, it's insane. That's a good point.
I mean, you've been outside the parks a little bit now with our gentleman's trip because you've always just taken the Magical Express to the bubble. You had no idea what the hell was out there.
There's a lot
And you
out
just
there.
See resort after resort after resort.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but that's a good point. I didn't think of that, and that could definitely be the case because there's not much incentive for these. You know, if someone just wants to go for the Star Wars thing, there's not a huge incentive to stay on property, except they are doing those like beefed up magic hours where you can get in like 3 hours early or whatever and stay 3 hours late every day.
Like, I think there's Disney tool bags who were never Star Wars fans, like you've said and I've said, and now all of a sudden they're Star Wars fans because Disney has their fingerprints all over it. But I think your true hardcore Star Wars fans didn't just become Disney fans overnight because Disney took them over.
Right, exactly.
So I don't think that they want to immerse themselves in the whole Disney.
Well, it's not that they wouldn't immerse themselves. They're not going to pay a premium to immerse themselves in the Disney bubble.
Right.
Like you're saying. Like, if they're looking at a room at, you know, Pop Century for $189 a night or whatever, and then they go and look at, like, a two-bedroom suite they can get somewhere off property for $145, like, what decision are you going to make if you don't care about staying at Disney?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So it's interesting that this is happening, and obviously the magic hours that they're offering for when Star Wars opens isn't enough to keep people on property because they obviously have inventory. So we'll see how quick. Usually free dining sells out really quick, too. We'll see how long it sticks around because you hear about that. Like, hop on free dining quick because it's going to sell out right away. It's like, okay, we'll see. We'll see if it sells out quick because I don't think people were expecting them to offer it this fall, and
nope.
It is, you know.
You and I didn't.
I mean, not that we're experts on the matter, but we just assumed it was going to be impossible to get a room on property and just, like, prices were going to go through the roof. And maybe they overplayed their hand with raising the ticket prices and the way they've done it with the ticketing structure. They've made it really difficult to do a Disney vacation with the tickets. Like, you buy a 3-day ticket, you have to use it in this 4-day window, and it's like, okay, well, what if you're staying off property and you're in town for 2 weeks? Now you gotta figure out which
you know,
4 days
really,
you want to go. And
they really jack you with that.
It's ridiculous.
And you know why they do it? To force you to buy an annual pass. A lot of that's to force you to buy an annual pass,
or you just pay the extra for the flexible one. You buy a 5-day, good for any 5 days within 2 weeks, and you're like, all right, whatever, I'll pay the extra $200 for that.
But like,
I don't
people might like me who say, well, I could get away with maybe a 10 to a 12 day. No, because now I got to use it within a.
Right. Yeah. Well,
but
we'll
they
see.
Do really dink you with that, though. Like you said, a lot of people, they don't do this every year, so if they come down here, they might want to do a 10 to 14 day trip and go check out the beaches and
Universal
and Saint, you know, Saint Augustine, and maybe play a little bit of golf. And
I mean, that's kind of their point, is this to force you to spend all your time at Disney, but it maybe it's you know, coming back to haunt them a little bit. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll definitely get a good idea, because if we're there in September and the place is dead a month after Star Wars opens,
be interesting.
It'll be very interesting to see.
Have you heard any from California?
I heard that it's dead. I heard Disneyland is dead, because they blocked out all the annual passes except for the premiums for like the whole summer because of Star Wars Land. So what I've heard is that no one's going, because all the APs are blocked out and they're just not getting the out of town tickets that they were expecting. And like those rides are like walk-ons. The ride in Star Wars doesn't even have like a huge line all the time, and the rest of the park is just abandoned because they blocked everybody. I think they overplayed their hand on both coasts. I don't know.
Now you better be careful, because if you dink me like that, you know me. I'd say I'll never set a foot in a park.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to say somebody who's been loyal all their life, you know what? I think we can capitalize. We'll see you in October.
Oh, I mean, if you're paying for the pass with blackout dates and they just push the blackout an extra 3 weeks earlier because of the Star Wars Land, then you say, okay, that's just what they, you know, they announced the blackout dates. It's not like they blacked out people with non-blackout APs.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were telling me like the people who have like the regular go anytime. They said, no, you're not going to go for like a month because we want to capitalize on this.
No, it's the people who want, you know, the ones with the blackout dates. All of a sudden they blacked out from like May 30th through September 1st or whatever, where it's usually June 1st or whatever, June 15th. So they basically blacked out an extra 2 or 3 weeks than they normally do.
I gotcha. Okay. That's fair. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I have no problem with what they did, but I think they anticipated more of an influx of people, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, because now I bet they wish they had those locals there spending money.
Right. And you know what? I haven't heard really anything bad about the stuff going on, except that the ride's just underwhelming, the one ride that's open. But I heard the rest of it's great. The people that are into it, they love it. But I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. I haven't watched any reviews on it. I haven't watched any ride videos or any walkthroughs or anything. I have zero interest in it.
I haven't watched anything. I've watched about between 50 to 100 beach and yacht club videos. I haven't seen one damn Star Wars thing.
Even like the food stuff doesn't interest me, because it's all stupid gimmicky stuff.
Yeah,
it's
the
not
yellow
like real
milk
food
or whatever the hell, the blue milk or whatever the hell it's called. I don't give a crap about that.
I don't have an issue with that, but just interesting, these discounts and what's going on. We'll keep our we'll use our very broad like 100-mile view and just kind of see what's going on, what we think based on what's happening out there. Anything else you want to add here?
Isn't it amazing the stuff that we care about that nobody else would really care about?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think people definitely see the writing on the wall with these discounts, but I don't know if they dig into it as much. And I'm sure not many podcasts are spending 20 minutes on the path from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom and are excited about it. And then they're like, Star Wars is open in 3 weeks.
Mm.
You know? Anyway, I don't have anything else. You want to take our second break?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand, tropical drink melting in your hand. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band down in Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it.
All right, back from break. That's going to do it for episode 281 of the Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. You know what would be great? And it's not going to happen. I wish they started filming stuff at Disney World again. How cool would it be to see, like, I know they don't even make music videos anymore, but like the Kokomo video.
You know it's so damn funny. It's so weird that you bring that up. It's kind of like Facebook.
Yeah.
When you search for golf clubs.
Mm. And then every ad, yeah.
That song came on, and I never really cared for the song. I'm not a Beach Boys fan, although I do like it when I'm at Typhoon Lagoon. And so I was going to the Orange Theory tonight, and Kokomo came on.
Oh, really?
Kokomo came on, and I'm like, I freaking love this song because I can just visualize Uncle Jesse on the drums.
Yeah.
Right after they opened the Grand Floridian. And I'm like, I taped that video, and I'd watch it because this is before anything, before YouTube, before video. So the only thing I could get was Fresh Live on ABC.
Right.
Or a Kokomo video that showed the Grand Floridian. That was the only way I could see any live from the Grand Floridian. And like, I taped that on VHS, and I would watch that thing over and over and over again.
It was your YouTube at the time.
Oh my God, it was. That was the
It was
the
like YouTube. When you would get the free preview of the Disney Channel and you just tape everything that came on.
Oh, all the time. My mom used to, we were living in Minnesota, she would always get the Disney planning videos.
Oh, right, yeah.
And like, I wouldn't even know, like, be like, oh, I got something in the mail. Be looking for something in the mail. And I would see like this big package. I'm like, what is this? And I'd open it up and I was like, yes, sir.
Just pop them in the VCR.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited when I got those.
They don't need to send them because you could just do everything on YouTube.
Right.
And I haven't even looked into it. Does Disney have its own like YouTube presence? Like, do they have that stuff online?
Yeah. They actually have their own channel.
I know they have their own channel, but do they put like the planning videos out?
You can find the planning channels out there. Yeah.
Well, other people post them. I'm just wondering if Disney like keeps updating them and they're sending them out like where people can find them on YouTube, or if it's just like fans like us and nerds like us that are just posting stuff and like spreading it around, you know?
That I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if they don't do it and have no... Like, think of the power they could have on YouTube of promoting themselves with, like, just good production, nerdy videos, behind-the-scenes, construction stuff. Yep. You know, get somebody hosting, talking to cast members. You could post 8-minute videos 2 times a week, and you'd get 1 million views on all of them. Put some
Disney
ads
Channel
on...
used to have, like, a magazine type of show.
Yeah.
And you can... I'll send you a link. I'll put it out on a social media... Oh, it was like in the 80s and early 90s, and it was, we'll be live from Epcot. We're live from the Beach and Yacht Club. Oh, my God. It was that what you're talking about.
That's what I mean. Like, why don't they...
Like, they would talk about wardrobe, or they go to Hollywood Studios and show you behind the scenes of this and that.
Like, you would watch a Disney-produced 15-minute video, like, talking to the chef at Grand Floridian Cafe about how they prepare their,
day. I'd pay a monthly subscription to that.
Right.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, it'd be amazing. But you don't even need to pay. They could put it on YouTube and run ads, and they'd make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They could pay for it 100 times over for what the production would cost to do it.
Like, just watch cool stuff.
And they know it's out there because they know these vloggers are getting tons of views, and it's like, maybe they're just saying, hey, we got these guys doing it for nothing.
Let's you interview know, the executive chef at the Grand Floridian. And how do you, what inspires you to, you know, to change your menu, and where does that come from? Just have like a Q&A and have him be in the kitchen?
But you could do, I mean, they could do that, but they have the Diz boards. They have Tim Tracker. They have all these other YouTube channels and things doing it for them. Right. They do it for free, and all they have to do is put them up for $300 a night at a hotel once every 3 months, and they, you know, they get down on their knees for Disney. So
yeah, but you're still not getting very, very, very good produced video.
No, you could get better.
Not to knock anybody, but I'm saying what you and I are really looking for isn't out there right now.
Right, and Disney could force their cast members to do whatever interviews. Like, it's not like if we called and said, hey, we want to interview, you know, the chef at Victorian Albert's. Can we get in the kitchen at Victorian Albert's?
Yeah, it ain't happening. Right, no.
Right, but if Disney said, hey, our YouTube channel is coming out on Tuesday and we're going to do this, you know, this piece, we need you to be here at this time, you do it. That's what it comes down to, and they could have these fantastic videos. Kind of like the Travel Channel ones that they did a while ago that were on Netflix that were great, those behind the scenes.
I don't think I've ever watched
them. Oh, you've seen those. I'll find those and show you what I'm talking about. You've definitely seen them.
You're not talking like Samantha Brown stuff.
No, that's the different ones. Anyway, let's wrap it up. Do you want to talk some social media here, Bill?
Yeah, go check out our social media.
They're very good. You know where it is. It's WDWBTG on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. YouTube, you search for WDW Beyond the Gates. What can we expect to see on our YouTube channel?
I haven't picked out a video, but I think you're going to like it.
Okay. I know we have the Tokyo Dining Review, which has been getting some good feedback.
What'd
out
you think
there.
Of that?
It was good. I like.
Did that sushi roll look good?
It did look good. I mean, that
and
place...
How about the calamari?
Everything. I mean, it's different. Like you said, being there on Easter definitely was a different kind of thing than you would normally do for Easter, but the food there is pretty solid. All the restaurants in Japan are run by the same company, and it's like not a Disney-run operation. So you get a little different, you know, style.
Which is surprising because you still get the tables in Wonderland, because a lot of the restaurants that don't accept the tables in Wonderland are because of the they're not
different
owned by
companies,
Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so where else can we be found? You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, like us, subscribe, leave reviews, do all that fun stuff. You can email the show info@wdwbtg.com. You can email me, Gary@wdwbtg.com, and email Mike@wdwbtg.com. Anything else that I'm missing here?
No, you nailed everything, Mr.
Got it
Plansman.
All right, yep. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 281 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-N.